Amen. Wow, that was a blessing. Thank you. Beautiful song. Amen. And flute duet offertory. That was good. I enjoyed that. All our music. I just enjoy it. And what a blessing it is. Praise the Lord. Well, here is a passage. Don announced it. It's about Ittai the Gittite. We're not going to talk about Ittai too much, a little bit. But I do want to call your attention to verse 23, where we get our title and our text. It says, all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. And then notice, the king also. The king also. All the people passed over. The king also. And I want to talk to you about those three words, the king also, this morning. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and you'll speak to our hearts with it. Thank you for all the good music we have here, all the time spent practicing, and just the hearts of those who play or sing. Lord, thank you so much for that. And Lord, we come to this time, which is what it all comes down to, and decisions that need to be made. So please speak to our hearts and help us to make the decisions we need to make because of the message today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us know the story of David's sin. Of course, David is made the king, and David, being a human being, he sinned. And it's so sad that Israel wanted a human king. God wanted to be their king. God was willing to be their king, but they didn't want God to be their king. They wanted a human king. And, of course, their first king was Saul, and he was a real tall fella and probably just a very good warrior and just a big man. And everybody thought, oh, this is the guy. Boy, he'll be a great king. Well, he sinned against God, and he fell and in his sin rebelled, and certainly that cost the kingdom and cost him his life. And then David comes along, and David, again, the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart, but David sinned as well. And you know the story of David's sin. He commits adultery and then has the woman's husband murdered, who was a very loyal man, very loyal to David. A year later, he's confronted by the man of God, and thou art the man. The words come from God's prophet. And David, of course, is told that his sin is going to affect his life. By the way, folks, your sin does affect your life. All of us. It affects us in one way or another. And thank God there is forgiveness. Thank God if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise God for that. But boy, David, the truth of whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. You see it in David's life. And immediately you see things happening. And of course, what our story is about here, one of David's sons, Amnon, rapes one of David's daughters, Tamar. We read that whole story in the Bible. In fact, first time I heard that story, I thought, God, boy, I don't think people ought to know about that. You know, it seems like you might want to hide that because that's such a bad thing. And yet God doesn't hide anything from us. Amen. He wants us to know the results of sin. And we go through that whole thing. And Amnon, of course, here's the king's son, and he commits rape. Absalom gets in his heart, in his mind, I'm going to get him for raping my sister. And so Absalom kills Amnon. And boy, you can just imagine David and how his heart is breaking as these things are taking place in his life. And not only does Absalom kill Amnon, now it's in his heart so deep, bitterness and hatred, now he's rebelling against his own father, the king. And that's where our story picks up here. Absalom has now, he's formed an army. The Bible says the people that followed him are simple people. That's how it is too. And when you go against the man of God, you go against God's will, you're a simple person. You're not very intelligent. And again, they just kind of followed Absalom. Absalom was an evil man. These others that followed him, they were simple minded. And Absalom gets his army together, and now they're coming into Jerusalem. And the Bible says that a messenger comes in verse 13, says there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Now, the people are following Absalom. King David, you need to get out of town. You need to leave. And so the king, the man that was to be the king, the one that God had appointed as king, the one that God had anointed and had him anointed by that was God's will, he is the king. And now David and his people are fleeing from town because Absalom has a bigger army now. He has a big enough army that they are going to flee from town. There is literally a civil war breaking out, and David is leaving with these people. They are fleeing. Absalom has all these people following him, and so David and the people are literally fleeing for their lives. And this sorrow that comes is on all the people, it says in verse 23, those that were loyal to David. It says all the people passed over. I mean, all these people are going over the Brook Kidron, and this is a valley area, and I have preached about the different valleys in the Bible, and this is a hard time, it is a tough time, it is a difficult time, and all these people are going through this difficult time. The fathers, the mothers, single men, elderly women, teenagers, children, all of them now must flee from Absalom's rebellion. But there he is, in a robe, in all his royalty, the Bible says the king also. He is going through this brook, Kidron. At times it was like more like a river, but at this time it was more like a brook. There would be mud along the sides. There would be it would not be an easy thing going down into this valley, which had been a river at times. This brook, this valley of Kidron. The king now in his robes, the king in his royal garments, the king, as still the king, is now fleeing. But the thing I notice here is the king also. The people go. The people splash through the water. The people trudge through the mud. But the king also is there leading his people with tears streaming down his cheeks. The king also goes over the Brook Kidron with his people. And I want to show you some things about this that I think are very precious truths about our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. You know, we go through some valleys and we go through some tough times. But our king also is with us. Our king has gone before us. The king also. Number one, we see the lowliness of the king. The lowliness of the king in verse 23. All the country wept with a loud voice. And by the way, it's all about David. Those that are with him are loyal to him. Those that are with him love him. Those that are with him, they would die for him, as we see with Ittai the Gittite. Those that are with him, they are going with him. And as they trudge across the brook, they're not going alone. They look, and there's the king. The Bible says, all the country wept with a loud voice. And it says, all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the Brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And all of them, it's a lowliness that is going on here. It is a sad time. Verse 30, David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. Had his head covered. He went barefoot. All the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. Is this the place for a king? Is this where a king belongs? I mean, why is a king trudging through the mud? Why is the king barefoot in the mud? Why is a king, hey, we need to see his royal crown, but we don't see his royal crown. We see him covering his head as an act of mourning because of the lowliness of the king. Is this a place for a king? Sure doesn't seem like it, does it? Sure doesn't seem like this would be the place where we would see the king. We ought to see him on his throne, shouldn't we? We ought to see him with his scepter held high and his crown gleaming in the sun. But no, the Bible says here the king is lowly. He's lowly. I see a parallel with David and, of course, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I see a parallel of how God Almighty came down to this earth. Can you imagine? I mean, really, it is hard to imagine. We celebrate Christmas and the world has literally ripped the truth away from what Christmas is all about. And it's all about God with us. God Almighty coming down to this earth to trudge through a world of sin and wickedness. Hey, he ought to be on his throne. And he came and he didn't come wearing his crown, did he? He didn't come yielding his scepter. No, he came to this earth lowly, lowly. Often thinking, I was going to try to find a little story I heard years ago about angels talking about Jesus coming to this earth, God incarnate coming to this earth. Can you imagine what they talk? I mean, just really think about the angel. What is he doing? What is he doing in that manger? What is he doing? Trudging through the mud and the wickedness and the filth of this earth. What is he doing? How could he possibly stoop to go down to the earth and be among flesh? It is amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? It absolutely is amazing. Songwriters have written songs about it. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. What a beautiful song. That's it, his love. Hey, what are you doing, David? You're the king. Where's your crown? Where's your scepter? Where's your throne? You're going through the mud with all the people. And I think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who did the very same thing, the lowliness. The lowliness, down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus is his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Just think about that. He didn't have to come. It was for us. Down from his glory, he left heaven's throne because he loves us. Wow, that's just amazing to me to think about. The king also. The king also. He came down from his glory. And here David goes through the brook Kidron, the mud splashing through the water. What a picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Why did he do it? First of all, because of sin. I promise you this, folks. David knew exactly why this was happening. In fact, you don't see him arguing at all. You don't see him questioning God. You don't see any of that. He knows. He knows exactly why his son Absalom rebelled against him. It went back to Nathan the prophet telling him very clearly, "Thou art the man." Sin! Sin, the Bible says, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It always brings death. It's never a good thing that sin brings. And as David trudges there through that mud, he knew there was no question about it. Why? He knew that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And by the way, he had already reaped from that sin. You know, Jesus also knew as he hung on the cross. He knew as he walked among men. He knew as men lied. He knew as men cursed. He knew as men lived their lives the way they lived it. He knew why he was there. There was never a question the Lord Jesus would have in his mind and his heart as to why he, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would be trudging through the mud of this earth. There was no question in his mind because he knew it was because of sin as well. Jesus, who the Bible says was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He who never sinned knew that he had to become sin to pay the price for our sins. He who never sinned, he became sin. He became sin. And Christ was humbled, the lowliness of the King of Kings. And he came and he lived a perfect life to die for the sins of all mankind. Oh, David knew why he was going through that valley. He knew why he was in that mud. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew. He knew why he left those ivory palaces. He knew why he came down from his glory It was because of sin. But I think it also not only was because of sin, it was also because of the situation. David was lowly because David had been rejected. David was lowly and he was leaving Jerusalem because so many had rejected him and chosen Absalom. Once David had been bowed to as a king and he had been loved by all, but now he was sought as a criminal by many who at one time had said they loved him. And again, it reminds me of the story of Jesus Christ who enters into Jerusalem and the people are saying, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest!" And they put palm leaves down and literally they worship him as royalty. And those same people, not just a few days later, said, "Crucify him. Kill him! Kill him!" It's the same story, the situation. We know the story of Jesus, how he was betrayed. But you know, we get upset at Judas, but we betray him. Each of us in this room has, at one time or another, we've betrayed Jesus. No different than Judas. No different than the people here. No different than Absalom. You say, "But Absalom is David's son. How could he do that?" I am my heavenly Father's son. How could I ever betray him? One of the things that sickens me the most about me is that I would ever betray my Savior. And it really ought to bother all of us. It should. But he knew because of the situation, that's why I'm here. By the way, David, as he trudges through this Brook Kidron, mud is all over his royal garments. But listen to me, he was still the king. David was still the king. And I want you to understand, folks, you need to realize that little babe in a manger, that little 12-year-old boy that stymied the priests in the temple and answered all their questions and gave them questions they could not answer, that Jesus Christ that walked on this earth, you listen to me, I don't care how despised and how rejected he was, as he hung on the cross, he is the king! But he was rejected. The Bible says he was despised and rejected a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus is rejected as David was rejected. There are folks here, perhaps this morning, you've rejected Jesus. I promise you this, though, he's still the king. He's still the king. He is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Tonight we'll learn about Shimei, and Shimei, as David's on his way across the Brook Kidron, as David is leaving Jerusalem, Shimei is cursing him and kicking stones at him and dirt on him and everything. Hey, Shimei, he's coming back. He'll come back! I've got news for you, folks. You may reject him today, but he's coming back. And he's never, never relinquished being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King. It's amazing. It's amazing how people, you know, that little baby in the manger, they're so excited about that. Even lost people, they get excited. I go back many years to Bern, Indiana, one of the first Christmases as a pastor of a church. And I remember the bar in town, Happy's Bar. By the way, nothing happy about a bar. But they had an ad in the paper at Christmas time, had a picture of the baby in the manger, and it said, "Peace on earth." And I thought, what hypocrisy. But he's okay as long as he's a little baby in a manger. You know, he's not despised and rejected as a little baby in a manger. He's despised and rejected when he stands up and he preaches to the people, this is what you need to do and how you need to live. And our problem today is we don't want anybody telling us what we need to do and how we need to live. Yeah, and so he's rejected. You say that's a terrible thing, isn't it? Yes, it is. Because again, we are like that. On Sunday, we get very pious and very obedient and very, "Oh yes, I'm going to do right." But the rest of the week, it's not like that. And we're the same way. You know, we're just like the people that said to David, "David, you're a great king," but all of a sudden things change a little bit, and hey. We're telling you to get out of here. And we reject him. Sunday mornings, we come to church, say, "Boy, it's good to be here." Sunday night, we say, "Go to church." Why? We're too busy. The lowliness of the king because of sin, because of the situation. And then the third thing under this is because of the similarity. The similarity. You know, David was a king that loved his people. David was a king that hurt with his people. And he knew that his people were hurting, and he hurt with them. And you know what? If here's the thinking of David, and we see it with Ittai. You know what? If you'll go with me, I'll go with you. If you'll be loyal to me, hey, I know this is hard on you. By the way, these people are leaving. They're leaving their homes too. And he hurt with them. And I'm reminded of Jesus. Keep your place here, but turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. I just want to read a couple verses here. Precious, precious truths. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Notice what it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a Savior. We have a high priest. He knows how we hurt. He literally hurts with us. He knows about our temptation. He knows about your trial today. You may be crossing the Brook Kidron this morning. Hey, Jesus has done it. He knows what you're going through. Sometimes I'll have someone say, hey, well, I was tempted. There was just no way out. Jesus got out. He was tempted. He knows. He understands. He understands temptation. You ever pray and you talk to God, say, God, you don't really know what this is like. He does know what this is like. Doesn't matter what you go through. Doesn't matter how tough. Doesn't matter how it seems impossible. Listen to me. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the feelings of your infirmities. He understands every part of that. He understands what it is. He understands why you're hurting. Hey, as you go through the Brook Kidron today, understand He went first. He went first. The lowliness of the King. He came down from His glory to die on the cross to pay for our sins. But He walked among men, and He was tempted just like us, so He can know. There is nothing you could ever bring to Him. Number one, there's nothing that'll shock Him. Ever. Nothing. There is nothing that He'll say, oh, that is tough. It's never too tough. There's nothing He can't give you victory over. There's nothing He can't give you peace over. You need to take everything to Him. He is, look, He, the people went, but the King also. The King also, He's been there. Wherever you are, He's been there. Whatever you're doing, He's been there. Without sin. He understands that. But He took our sin. He knows the ugliness of sin. He knows the sting of sin. He knows the pain of sin. They drove nails in His hands. They drove the thorns down into His brow. He was covered in blood. He was whipped till the skin hung from His body. Don't you tell me He doesn't know the pain of sin. He took it for us. He knows all about it. There is nothing you can bring to Jesus today that He can't handle. He's been in the Brook Kidron. He's trudged through the muddy waters. Take it to Him today. You say, oh, my garments are stained with sin. And He died on the cross to take away that stain. And He knows all about it. You bring it to Him today. The lowliness of the King. Number two, we see the love for the King. And I like this. I like the way Don announced it, even though it's not the book of Hezekiah from last week. But the story of Ittai the Gittite. One of my heroes in the Bible. In fact, there was a time he was my number one guy. I mean, the preacher down at Pensacola, Brother Taylor, he preached on this one time. And I just got so excited about Ittai the Gittite. I said, I want to be an Ittai the Gittite. I love it. Verse 19, and number two is the love for the King. Do you understand? There were folks that loved the King, even though he's covered with mud. Amen. There were folks that loved the king, and he's being run out of Jerusalem. And verse 19, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. He said, hey, Absalom, look, you can be taken care of. You can keep your job. You can keep your income. You've been a good man. And he said, I don't want you to suffer. He said, you can stay with Absalom. Verse 20, whereas thou camest but yesterday. You know what Ittai was? He was a new convert to King David. That's what he was. He was a new convert. He just came yesterday. He said, you just came. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou, take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with. Ittai, I would not hold it against you if you didn't follow me here. I love verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. He said, I'm with you. What an emotional time for David. Can you imagine? His own son has rejected him and rebelled against him and is running him out of his kingdom. And many that David had loved and many that David had cared for and he had made decisions and helped them and been a blessing to them, and many that had said, we're for you, king, and all that, they turned against him. But here's one. Here's one. Ittai that loved him. Here's one that loved him and loved him even unto death. I'll be honest with you, folks, that's what we owe the King of Kings. Maybe they watched the king in his royal garments covered with mud as he splashed through the brook Kidron. Maybe they saw that and they stopped and they said, you know what? If he's willing to suffer, if he's willing to go through this, if he's willing to be with me, I could be with him. They loved him. They loved him. I'll be honest with you, folks. If you could stop and think about what Jesus did for you. If we would just stop and think about it. We have the Lord's Supper, and I'm so careful. I get concerned that sometimes we become numb to the Lord's Supper. You know what I'm talking about? We just kind of do it. I don't ever want to just do something just to do it. The Lord's Supper is like a memorial service to think about, hey, what did Jesus do for me? This little bread piece here, it represents His flesh. It's not His flesh, but it represents flesh that was peeled from His body with a cat of nine tails. Flesh that was punctured by nails in His hands and His feet. Flesh that was beaten with rods and fists of angry men. And when we drink that grape juice, it represents blood. It's not blood. It'd ruin everything if it was blood. Because it's supposed to make us think of the only blood. The only blood that could cleanse us and take away our sins. And sometimes we're just so casual. We don't stop and look at that little cup and think, all His blood, it poured out of His body. Not fast, but as it's being beaten. And it just seems like we would think about what He did. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, listen, demands my soul, my life, my all. the love for the king. You see, Ittai, he said, here's somebody that loves me, and I'll follow him. Here's somebody that loves me, he'll give himself for me, I'll give myself for him. I'm telling you, folks, look over at Luke 7 and verse 41, Luke 7, 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay. Doesn't matter if you owe 500, doesn't matter if you owe 50. If you have nothing to pay, you have nothing to pay. Amen? They had nothing. But the Bible says he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And here's our problem, and I've preached on this verse before, but our problem is this. We somehow get this idea we're not so bad. Well, it was only 50 pence. There's people that are, I know somebody that's a 500 pencer. I want to remind you of something. If you owe 50 or if you owe 500 and you have nothing to pay, you have nothing to pay. I got news for you. Hell is hell. If you owe 50, it's hell. If you owe 1, it's hell. Oh, I only owe 1! I got news for you. He died for the 1 every bit as much as he died for the 1,000. The problem is when you owe 1, you don't think that he did much. I'm telling you, he kept you out of hell when he died on the cross. He kept me out of hell when he was beaten. He kept me out of hell when he was nailed. He kept me out of hell when he went to that cross and he died for me. And he kept you out of hell too. It's just how we look at it. Did he forgive you for much? I wasn't a real bad person. And that's the way your life is now. You didn't think it was so bad. I'm telling you, you ought to fall on your face and say, oh God, I deserved hell. I deserved hell. I deserved hell. I deserved hell. I still deserve hell. But thank you, God. I don't have to go to hell. And I love you. Do you love him today? Get the right view of what he's done for you. And it'll change your life. It'll literally change your life. The lowliness of the king, the love for the king. The last thing is number three, liberty with the king. Because again, Absalom was defeated. We're going to talk about that tonight. Absalom was defeated. And now David is returning to Jerusalem as the victor. 2 Samuel 20 and verse 2. We're just going to touch on this. 2 Samuel 20 and verse 2. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king. By the way, they clave unto their king because they never quit cleaving to him. They were with him all the way. And they crossed the brook through the mud. They crossed the brook through sorrow and tears and weeping. And you know what? As the victory takes place, they cross coming back too. What a blessing. They were with him all the way. Their king was with them, and they were with their king. And they saw their king seemingly defeated. I often wonder about the demons at the cross. We got him! Can you hear him? I don't know if you ever heard a demon before. You don't want to, I can tell you that. We killed him! We killed him! He's dead! I can hear it. We just celebrated Easter. Boy, what a victorious time. Can you imagine? Up from the grave, he arose. And they couldn't hold him. And death couldn't hold him. Huh? Oh, let me tell you something. I think about this all the time. I see folks that are just so anti-God. There are some that are just simple. Honestly, they're just following, you know, just following like sheep to a slaughter. Hello? So many are. But I know there's some that are just so anti-God and so anti-Christ. Let me tell you something. The king is coming back. As the judge, the righteous, holy judge. We hear people all the time, well, you know, nobody ought to be able to say what's right and what's wrong. There aren't any rights and wrongs. And we ought to be able to just do. Let me tell you something. Someday before God Almighty, right and wrong will keep your mouth shut. Every mouth will be stopped. there will be nothing to say. Because deep down within our hearts and our souls, we know what's right. We really do. And we have the Word of God to verify it all. He's coming back. I think about so many, you know, like Shimei. You know, I think of fair weather Christians. Well, I'll follow Christ as long as he's not going through the Brook Kidron. I don't want to get muddy. You know, I'll do what he says as long as it's convenient for me. You know what I'm thinking? There ought to be a whole bunch of Ittai the Gittites. I love you, God. I'll follow you through the Brook Kidron. I'll follow you through the valley of Achan. I'll follow you anywhere, wherever you want to go. You go out in the wilderness, I'll follow you out in the wilderness. Doesn't matter to me. Huh? Well, it's just not convenient. You know, the world's going their way, and I'm going my way. And yeah, I understand that. And Jesus went his way, and it ended up right here for you. How in the world can we just do our own thing? Yeah. So many today, evil seems so strong. It does. Oh, I'll tell you, things are just really moving right along, aren't they? I mean, the forces of evil are everywhere, big time. God's people, you go soul winning. You start seeing how people think. That's why some of you become so worldly. Because you did, you saw how people, and you're scared. You know, it's not so fair. And I'm telling you, it's tough. The old world is just, Dale and I were talking about it this morning. You know, people just, they look at us funny anymore. I'm talking about just old-fashioned Christian. Just people go to church. They look, what's wrong with you anyway? I got news for you. The King's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Praise God. And you know what? We win. We win. Liberty with the King. And you know who's really the free people? The free people are the ones that followed the King. We're free. Revelation 21, go all the way to Revelation. Way back, the end of the book, amen. Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven, new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Watch this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. I was preaching a funeral one time, and I made the statement. I said, you know what? In heaven, there won't be any funeral directors. Funeral director came up. He said, I'm saved. Anyway, the point is you won't have that job when you get to heaven. I think we'll let funeral directors go to heaven. But won't be any more. Next time I'll say there won't be any doctors in heaven. But there are. You just won't have that position. Amen. Because there won't be any pain. Glory to God. No sorrow, no crying. Neither shall be any pain. The former things are passed away. Praise God. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Next chapter, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Oh, glory to God. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And he said in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And on it goes, we win. We win, amen. I'll tell you, folks, it doesn't look like we're going to win, but we do win. I'll be honest with you. Ittai the Gittite, when he follows David through through the brook Kidron. Him, his family, his army. Didn't look like they were going to win either, did it? In fact, you would have no indication that they were going to win. But they did. They did. They did. And we do too. Glory to God. You just stick with the King. Stick with the King. The King also. He stuck with you. He stuck with you. He sticks with you all the time. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. He prays for you. He loves you. Stick with the King. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around or talking. Heads are bowed. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I am saved. If I died right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. No doubt about it. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved." Would you raise your hand if you know that today as a testimony? Praise the Lord. Many, many hands. Most of the folks, you can put your hands down. I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, "Preacher, I do not know that. If I died right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I am not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Not sure. I'm not sure. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, I am saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? All over. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Many folks. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you for coming down from your glory to live here on this earth, to live a perfect life, to be tempted, to be tried, so that you could be the perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for knowing sorrow and infirmity and sadness and pain, and thank you for being able to identify with all the things that I go through. And thank you, God, for going through the brook. Thank you for knowing the valleys and going through the valley to be the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you, God, that you've given us a promise that you're coming back. We win. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us to love you. Help us to do right, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments play "More Love to Thee." God, speak in your heart today. You have something you need to pray about. Do not hesitate. You come as the Lord leads you to come. God, speak into your heart. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. That's why we come. Amen. Still open. Amen. Look up this way, please. Anyone who went to the Master Club Regionals and you took pictures, if you could get those pictures to Brother Tim Cook as soon as possible, that would be a blessing. We'll have one Sunday evening here soon. We'll have all the results and tell you about the regionals yesterday, but Brother Cook's going to put together like a slideshow, something like that. So we need all those pictures. If you took pictures at regionals, make sure you get those to Brother Tim Cook, and that'll be good. Ensemble 4:30, 5 o'clock, our different choirs, first through third choir, will not be practicing. If you are sixth grade and under, we do have the, and a young lady, we have the mother-daughter banquet choir of little girls, and that is at 5:30 tonight in the 4- and 5-year-old room, so don't forget that. And teens meet at 5, men's prayer, ladies' prayer, church at 6 tonight, so a lot of things going on, isn't it good? Praise the Lord. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we are indeed thankful for the love displayed by your Son as he took upon himself our sin and paid the price of our sin debt that we might have eternal life. Father, may the thought and the theme of today's messages be with us through this week as and impress upon us through your Holy Spirit the sacrifice that you made for us, that we might love you more and demonstrate that love in our lives. And Father, may others see that love. And may we with word and deed testify of the saving grace provided through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. Guide us and direct us, bring us again safely together tonight, we pray in Jesus' name.